Good morning. It's good that everyone is here today, and I hope you can get something from the lesson that I prepared for you today. I was going to talk about something different, but since there are several people gone and knew that they were going to be gone today, I know it was a little bit dangerous to guess who's going to be here and when, but knowing that there were going to be several families out today, I decided to postpone the lesson. I was going to talk about the authority of the church and it has and how it for we support evangelists both locally and in other locations. So we're going to do that next month when I preach. So today I kind of developed a lesson that's more like a very basic level of authority. So throughout all of the Old Testament and the New Testament, we see a structure or hierarchy of authority given. In the beginning, we see the story of God creating the universe and all that is in it. God, as creator, has power or authority over his creation. And if you look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, we see that story begin. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then going back farther into chapter 1 of Genesis, in verses 27 and 28, and then in chapter 2 and verse 7, we read that this creation included men. Verse 27 says, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on earth. And then jumping over to verse 7 of chapter 2, it says, and the Lord formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. Then going on into Genesis in chapters 3 and 4, we see God's interaction with man as temptation and sin entered the world. He was in control, but mankind had freedom to act as they pleased, even when it was against God's will for man. And he also has power over evil beings who persuade men to disobey. We further see God's power to punish man for disobedience in the story of Cain and Abel. And then we see God's power to destroy his creation in the story of the flood. And skipping ahead to the story of Israel, when they had grown proud and wanted to be like the other nations, they asked God to give them an earthly king. God allowed it, but God allowed them to have a king and set kings up for them, but those kings were subject to God's authority. Let's look at 1 Samuel chapter 1. Chapter 8, I'm sorry. First Samuel chapter 8, and we'll read starting in verse 1. Now it came to pass when Samuel was old that he made his sons judges over Israel. The name of his firstborn was Joel, and the name of his second, Abijah. They were judges in Beersheba. But his sons did not walk in the ways. They turned aside after dishonest gain, took bribes, and perverted justice. Then all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah and said to them, Tim, look, you are old, and your sons do not walk in your ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all nations. But the things displeased Samuel when they said, give us a king to judge us. So Samuel prayed to the Lord. And the Lord said to Samuel, heed the voice of the people and all that they they say to you, for they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them, according to all the works which they have done since the day that I brought them up out of Egypt, even to this day, with which they have forsaken me and served other gods, so they are doing to you also. Now therefore heed their voice, however you shall solemnly forewarn them and show them the behavior of the king who will reign over them. So even though he allowed Israel to have earthly kings, God was still in control and maintained authority over Israel and all other nations. God revealed the meaning of Nebuchadnezzar's dream in a vision. And if you want to turn to Daniel chapter 2. Starting in verse 21. Let's start in verse 20. And Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his, and he changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and raises up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and secret things. He knows what is in the darkness, and light dwells with him. I thank you and praise you, O God of my fathers. You have given me wisdom and might, and have now made known to me what we asked of you. For you have made known to us the king's demand. So he was thanking God for allowing him to interpret the dream. But he talks about God being able to make kings and remove them. So God remained in power over the kings that were established and for his people. And let's turn over to Romans chapter 13. We see a statement of God's authority in the New Testament as well. Romans chapter 13. We'll start it in verse 1. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. You want to be unafraid of the authority, do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid. For he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Therefore, you must be subject not only because of wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For because of this, you also pay taxes, for they are God's ministers, attending continually to this very thing. Render therefore to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. So we see that there is no authority except the authority from God. Authorities of this world only have authority as it is being given to them by God. His authority has not changed through the ages. God sent Jesus, and he had given, and he gave him all authority. This is much different than the authority he gives earthly kings and rulers. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And we'll start in verse 24. Then comes the end when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death, for he has put all things under his feet. But when he says all things are put under him, it is evident that he who put all things under him is accepted. Now when all things are made subject to him, then the Son himself will also be subject to him who put all things under him, that God may be all in all. So God put all things under Christ, and Christ still being under his authority, will return it all to God. And let's look at Ephesians chapter 1. And we'll start reading in verse 15. It says, "Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all." So he put Christ is far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named. He is above all, with exceedingly greater authority that God has given any earthly ruler. And Christ has many titles that portray the authority he has been given. He is the creator. Let's look at Colossians chapter 1. Starting in verse 15. "He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist." So all things were created through him and for him. He was before all things. He's also called King. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 5, we read, "And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood." And then in chapter 17 of Revelation, in verse 14, we read that he is the King of Kings. "These will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and those who are with him are called, chosen, and faithful." He is the head of the church, or body. And let's turn back to Colossians chapter 1. And starting in verse 18. "And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that is in all things, he may have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. And you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. if indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. And in Hebrews, so we see there that he is the head of the head and the beginning of the church. Well, let's look at Hebrews chapter 13. In verse 21. And we'll read 20 and 21. Now may the God of peace who brought you up, our Lord Jesus from the dead, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well pleasing in his sight. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. So we see him being, Jesus being called the great shepherd. And if we look at 1 Peter chapter 5, and starting in verse 1, it says, the elders who are among you, I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed, shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but becoming examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. So we see Jesus being called the chief shepherd in this verse. Of course, I think Robbie had a lesson with all his names. But I've just picked these out to show the authority that Jesus had over his body and his people. Christ being over all established his church, the church building it on the foundation of him being the Son of God through the authority that God had given him. Let's look at Matthew chapter 16. And we'll start reading in verse 13. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I say also that to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. So we see that on the fact that Peter said that he was the Son of God, and Christ said that he would build his church on that fact. And let's turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. First Corinthians chapter 3, and we'll read verse 11. And Paul wrote, for no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So we see in what we have discussed so far that there is a hierarchy or authority for the church. You see God, the one slide that I have, God and in Christ being the head of the church as a whole. and then elders and the local body. That, so we see the church, Christ being the firstborn in the church, and the head of the church, and then so we see the whole church, and then within the church, the local bodies. All are responsible, including each member of the church, to follow the law or teaching of Christ. That law has been provided to us through the inspired writings. Christ sent the Holy Spirit to establish that law through the apostles and other writers. Let's look, turn back to John in chapter 5. And starting in verse 5, John chapter 16, I'm sorry, reading my verses instead of my chapters. Starting in verse 5, "But now I go away to him who sent me, and none of you ask me, 'Where are you going?' But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, of sin because they do not believe in me, of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more, of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, well, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you." Christ, now let's look at chapter or 2 Timothy chapter 3. And in starting in verse 16, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." In John chapter 17, Jesus prayed for the apostles to keep them from the evil one. He sent them into the world to teach about Christ so that all could be one. He further prayed for all who believed in him through the word they taught. Let's go back to John in chapter 17, starting in verse 20. "I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me." He prayed for those who would believe to be unified. As he and God are one, he prayed that those who believed would be one. For that to be possible, there has to be authority to guide them. Christ provided his law to mankind through the apostles. It is up to mankind to choose to follow it. But Paul wrote that he pled with the Corinthian Christians to be of the same mind, that they may speak the same things. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Chapter in verse 10. He said, "Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no division among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." And he used the name of Christ in making this plea. To be of one mind in Christ and to speak the same things in Christ, we must follow Christ. This must be our intent and focus, or we will fail. Let's look at Philippians chapter 3. And starting in verse 12. "Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. So Paul pushed forward toward the goal, and he did not stop. If he stopped, he would not reach the goal. He wanted everyone to be of the same mind. The church and individuals need Christ's authority for what they do. Let's look at Colossians chapter 3. Starting in verse 12. "Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." We are to have the word of Christ in us. We are to use that word to teach and admonish one another. We are to do all in his name, meaning by his authority. What we are to do and what we are not to do is found in his word. Jesus said this. Let's go back to Matthew 16. Starting in verse 17, Jesus answered and said to him, we've already read this. I meant to stop before. But Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And it will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." What was provided to the apostles by Christ, the Holy Spirit, was the law. It either binds or gives freedom. So Josh has already spoken one lesson pertaining to authority. In the coming months, you will be hearing more lessons about the church and what it has authority to do and not do. And it's important that we know these things and follow them. And we need to be what the church is intended to be. Paul wrote Timothy to remind him of how to conduct himself in the church, which is the pillar and the ground of truth. Let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 3. Starting in verse 14. These things I write to you, though I hope to come to you shortly. But if I am delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth. We need to follow this, and otherwise we would be in opposition of Christ's desire that all be unified in him. Because if we don't follow him, then we're not going to be unified. So if you're one that has heard God's word and believe it, and you're ready to repent and confess Jesus as the Son of God and be baptized into him, we invite you to come forward as we stand and sing.